My guest is white South African novelist Nadine Gordimer. She continues to live and work in South Africa, despite the fact that three of her novels were at one time banned by her country's government. Her stories began to appear here in the 1950s, and she became known for her portraits of ordinary people caught up in the drama and contradictions of the times they lived in. Her latest novel is called A Sport of Nature. It's about the present and future of South Africa as seen through the life of a white South African Jewish girl named Helela. Helela's life revolves around the men that she knows and later marries, including a black revolutionary leader. I asked Nadine Gordimer if she expresses her own opposition to apartheid through her writing.
Not at all. When I'm writing novels or stories, I'm doing my work, the thing that I'm best fitted to do. It's got... I wouldn't ever put such ability as I have as an artist at the service of any cause, however much I personally felt attached to it. That would be writing propaganda. I'm not a propagandist. But in my private life as an individual, it is there that I support very strongly the cause of liberation in South Africa in my actions and in my words as a private person.
Do you think that your books have contributed to the cause?
I would like to think so, from the point of view that they inform people outside at a depth at which the media, news media, cannot, of how laws actually shape people's lives and their emotions, what these laws do to people when they live under such a regime. And I think this is true of all writers, all imaginative writers who live under some kind of oppression. It fleshes out the facts for the rest of the outside world, and I think also helps the people within the country to understand what has been done with them, what they have become, to understand their own reactions and begin to have doubts. And I think doubt is a very healthy thing for people to feel, begin to question yourself.
The main character in your book is Jewish, and your father was a Jew who fled Tsarist Lithuania. And it's ironic that he fled oppression and then moved to a country where he would end up being identified as an oppressor by virtue of his skin color. Was that an irony that you felt growing up?
No, I didn't feel that at all when I was growing up, but I certainly feel it now. Of course it is an irony, very much so.
Does it make it any easier to be accepted and trusted in black revolutionary circles if you're not an Afrikaner?
Yes, I think it does. Though even if you're not an Afrikaner, you still have to prove by word and deed that you really do identify with the liberation cause. It's not enough just to say, you know, I'm with you. You've got to show that you really are. And there are Afrikaners who've done this too.
Was there a turning point in your life where you decided to side with the revolutionary struggle?
I think it's been a slow process. I was born in that small town, a little mining town near Johannesburg. I lived the ordinary life of any white child, totally cut off from black people except insofar as they were around doing menial jobs. And then when I moved to Johannesburg as a young writer, I moved in the sort of set that you find everywhere. I think that the people in the arts are freer of prejudice than other people because they're all breaking all sorts of other conventions as well. So then I began to move freely with blacks and found that with some of them I had far more in common than I had with whites. In other words, we had community of interest in writing or in another form of the arts, and so friendships were formed. Then, when I moved to Johannesburg in the 1950s, it was the time of the big passive resistance campaigns. I could have taken part in them, but I didn't. I think I was a slow developer. I was looking on from the outside. I felt very sympathetic and supportive, but I didn't go there to the sit-ins. I didn't get myself involved in that way. And the act of involvement came latterly as I got to know and saw more and more deeply what was happening in the country and the extent of the oppression. So I became more involved.
Has the government ever offered you any kind of deals, for instance, that if you didn't associate publicly with black revolutionaries, that they wouldn't ban your books?
No, I'm afraid not. I don't think they regard writers as important enough to make that sort of deal.
The way you've described the writers' importance in South Africa, it sounds like writers, as far as the government is concerned, is more of a thorn in their side than any real threat.
Exactly.
Well, why is that so?
Well, where would the writers represent a threat? Have they ever represented a threat in your own country, in England?
Well,
no.
In America, writers complain that they're not taken seriously enough.
Well, I think that is the whole point, that governments don't take writers seriously. And the effect that writers have on the public is, as I've said, a slow business. But it often goes very deep. But I think governments don't see this. They don't take much notice of writers. I think the French are the only people who've ever felt that writers were worth listening to and even made some of their poets diplomats at a certain time. But it certainly isn't general anywhere else in the English-speaking world that I know of.
Why do you stay in Johannesburg? What keeps you in South Africa?
It's my home. I was born there. I'm deeply attached to it. It's my place in life.
Your new novel concludes with, if you don't mind me giving this away, a black majority rule in South Africa. If that were to happen in your lifetime, as I know you hope that it does, how do you think your own life would be changed by it?
I would hope that many things that distress me in my own life, some of the conditions under which I must live, I'm talking about the white privileges, the fact that everything is decided by whites. I hope that that will all change. I would like to see that very much.
So the privilege of the white person is a burden to you?
Yes, much of it has become a burden. Because, first of all, one goes through the stage of feeling ashamed of it. There's nothing much you can do. And if you do it on a personal level, the laws remain the same. In my life, I've come to realize that right, your own personal behavior is important, of course, toward other people. But in the end, it's the framework within which you live that counts. And that framework has been so rigid all my life that my personal defiances of it really count for very little. And what you need is to change the laws, change the social order.
What have those personal defiances been?
Well, I mean, in the 50s, I moved in a set that had strong social relations with blacks. We went in and out of black townships. We had, at that time, you were forbidden to have blacks in your house. You couldn't drink together. But we did all this, and we felt very defiant and brave. But we were not really very brave. We didn't achieve very much. We made some personal relationships that have lasted. But when we parted after the party, so to speak, the blacks went home to their black ghettos, and we went to our pleasant homes in the suburbs. That's the kind of thing that I mean.
Are there small defiances that you continue to take on now in your day-to-day life?
Some small and some a little bigger.
What are the big ones?
Well, I wouldn't really like to talk about them because
they
are things that one does that are really not for to be broadcast.
I understand.
Otherwise, one couldn't go on doing them.
You know, it's interesting. The main character in your book, Halela, has the kind of influence that she has in part because of the men who she's chosen to marry or be lovers with.
She's a kind of courtesan, really, of a new kind, of a modern kind.
Yeah, of a kind of revolutionary sort.
Yes, but if you look back in history, you know, you have Madame de Maintenon, people like that. You even have, think of Evita Peron. I see Halela somewhat in that mold, though I like her rather better.
I wonder if you see yourself as a feminist.
No. Not really. I'm a feminist insofar as I'm a humanist. I think that everybody, no matter what sex, color, creed, should have exactly the same rights.
Let me just thank you. Thank you very much for talking with us today,
thank
Nadine
you.
Gordimer.
Bye-bye.
Nadine Gordimer's new novel is called A Sport of Nature. She spoke with us from New York.